It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, January 20th. I'm Patricia Naft. Retail marijuana was a big issue for a lot of Western Slope communities last year. Many rejected retail marijuana, but not all. Now those differences are more than just on paper. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Almost a year after the town of Dubuque approved retail marijuana, the first pot shop is open. Kush Gardens opened Saturday and seems to have been steadily doing good business since. Guy Patterson is the town's manager. He says Dubuque is now the first retail marijuana town heading west on I-70 and the closest option for Grand Junction.
They're getting a lot of business from the Grand Junction area, so they have a lot of people to the west of them coming to visit. And that's kind of what we expected, is we would be the providers of recreational marijuana for the Western Slope, because the elections turned out the way they did and other municipalities and counties decided not to go the route the town Dubuque did.
Partly because of this position Dubuque is in, Patterson and the town are looking to see a big boost from tax revenue.
We budgeted this coming fiscal year for 2015 $100,000 in revenue, and it looks like we're going to have in February a work session with the town Board of Trustees to say, what do you want to do with this revenue?
Patterson says that three other marijuana shops are in the works for Dubuque, and he gets phone calls every week from people curious about the process. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
There was a police chase Sunday night in Grand Junction that ended with the vehicle crashing onto the Colorado Mesa University campus and two suspects fleeing into the night. It all started when a victim reported people in a white SUV pointed a gun at him while he was driving. The police found the SUV, started pursuing it. It collided with one car before driving into a residential area. The GDPD found the car later as it sped into the CMU campus. It eventually crashed into a fire hydrant near the practice football field. Four people fled the vehicle. Two were arrested. Two men who escaped are still being sought. A Colorado Senate bill introduced last week aims to help rural communities during times of economic crisis. KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
Senate Bill 36 seeks to give emergency assistance grants to rural communities during times of economic hardship. The bill is sponsored by freshman Senator Kerry Donovan, who represents State Senate District 5. The district covers six counties on the Western Slope, including Delta, Hinsdale, and Gunnison. Donovan says the bill would allow the state to react quickly when there's an economic emergency in a community, like a plant shutdown or industry-wide layoffs.
Its aim is to minimize population loss in rural towns so that we could get in there and try to empower families to make a choice to stay in their communities, because then the schools keep their kids, Main Street businesses keep their customers, healthcare facilities continue to have enough people to stay open.
Donovan says she was inspired to write the proposed legislation after nearly 400 coal miners lost their jobs in Delta County.
The idea of the grant program would temporarily expand assistant programs, and we're trying to keep that concept of assistant programs very broad so that the county can tell the state what it needs.
The assistance program would be overseen by the Colorado Department of Local Affairs, and it calls for $2 million from the state general fund to be set aside for the program. The bill has been assigned to the State Veterans and Military Affairs Committee for review. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Governor John Hickenlooper kicked off his second term in office. He recently highlighted his budget priorities and overall goals in his annual State of the State address. As part of our Capital Conversation series, Benta Berkland discusses what it all means with State House reporters.
Joining us, we have Ivan Moreno with the Associated Press and Ed Sealover with the Denver Business Journal. By and large, Governor Hickenlooper received a warm reception for the speech, and it seems like lawmakers on both sides of the aisle didn't have a lot to criticize Ivan.
Yeah, that's right. His State of the State speech did not really have many controversial things in it. He talked about how the unemployment rate is now at 4.1% compared to just over 9% when he took office. This, of course, was his fifth State of the State. He mentioned some economic development initiatives that he wants to see kind of start to materialize, including getting jobs for people who have been unemployed for more than 6 months, reducing testing in public schools. And also he talked a little bit about the Taxpayer's Bill of Rights, which was really what a lot of lawmakers were kind of waiting to see what he had to say about that. And he really kind of just referenced it very briefly, you know, we're going to have to deal with this, but didn't really call for any legislative action on it so far. So it just sounds more like he's laying the groundwork to have this conversation in future years.
Ed, what stood out to you and what does it mean for the next few months?
I think what stood out to me was the caution that he took in the way he delivered this speech. Hickenlooper has actually delivered some of the boldest state of the states I've ever heard before. Back in 2012, he even called for an end to homelessness in Colorado. And this year, he really didn't put forward a lot of specific policy plans. As Ivan referenced, he said, well, we're having a fiscal constitution problem, but didn't really talk about how to fix it. He referenced that he wanted to balance energy and environmental concerns with oil and gas, but really gave no direction to what could be some controversial suggestions coming out of an oil and gas task force later this year. And even his economic development plans, which were really the meatiest part of the speech, were very targeted. We're going to go for high unemployment, rural counties. We're going to go for the long-term unemployed. These are things that are going to be hard for anyone to really dispute. So I think Hickenlooper, what stood out to me about Hickenlooper's speech was the idea that he made this speech with an eye toward the fact that he's dealing with a split legislature that, if you look at the bills that were introduced in the first week, clearly have very different ideas of what they want to do with government.
When I talked to him, he said in his final 4 years, he has more realistic expectations about what he can accomplish.
Well, and I think that going back to Tabor, maybe he is looking at the long view of things. I think he realizes that the refunds that are expected to maybe happen this year, that there's really no way to go to the ballot and ask voters to keep those this year. But he has another 4 years in office, and so he has a while to try to, again, if he wants to, form this campaign to try to tackle these constitutional restraints that the state faces.
When you came out of it, you might think that the biggest initiative that he put forward was the idea of building more bike and hiking trails across the state, which is not insubstantial, but certainly is not the thing that lights up everyone's eyes. I think a lot of people talked about what wasn't in the speech. There was no mention of construction defects reform. There was no mention of business tax incentives. I think it's going to set up for this to be a very interesting year where Hickenlooper, who at times has really pushed bills, such as in 2011, at times has been pushed by bills, such as in 2013, now seems to be examining where exactly this might be able to go.
Thanks. That was Ed Sealover with the Denver Business Journal and Ivan Moreno with the Associated Press. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
And finally, the Bureau of Land Management on Friday proceeded with canceling 17 oil and gas leases on the Rhone Plateau. Last November, the federal government, conservation groups, and energy companies reached a settlement agreement canceling 17 issued leases on the Rhone Plateau near Rifle from an August 2008 lease sale. The leases were on top of the plateau, an area conservation groups wanted protected from drilling. Under the deal, companies kept 2 plateau top leases issued in the sale and 12 leases along the plateau base. The Daily Sentinel reports that the BLM must repay about $47 million spent to acquire and make annual rental payments on the canceled leases. Stay tuned for Chase and the Tuesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.